Here we go on a Monday. The John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show, starring Sherry Elicker and John Davidson.
Okay. I'll take it. Right. I like
All
him.
Right. All right.
Good smile.
$20,000 pyramid. Diving in there! Oh, that's refreshing. Refreshing. Guess what?
What's that?
The Mariners. Mariners got hits over the weekend. In the face. Talking sports with love. That's right. He is your go-to guy. Talking sports with love. Give the guy a try. Although he only got his job for nepotism. He'll tell you the score. Holding a 2x4. And have the crowd cheering. Rye reporting from Home Depot, where he has a break. By the way, Sherry, they cut his hours down to 18.
How is that possible when there's a staffing shortage?
Rye, you want to talk about that?
I think it's because I'm watching the Mariners in aisle 29. Be helping. Talk game sports with Rye.
Roller, what happened? The Mariners got into a bit of a kerfuffle, a real Donnybrook, as our friend Keith Jackson would have said, right? So here is the fight over radio.
Here's the pitch, and it's inside, and that hits Winker. And Andrew Wants hits him, and Wants has to go, and so does Phil Nevin. Winker walking slowly out in front of home plate, and now he's getting chirped at by the Angel players. Winker going over toward the dugout, and both benches are emptying. Winker going to the Angels dugout. He is right in there. They're starting to throw punches. Holy smokes, we got a full melee going on in the on-deck circle.
Oh, go Donnybrook.
Everybody throwing punches. Angels out there, Mariners out there. And that was inside. It hit Winker. Winker had a few words with Stassi, walked over to the dugout, and now the umpires have their hands full trying to separate guys. Holy smokes, we have a melee in the on-deck circle. Guys are still fighting one another. They're still going at it. They're trying to separate players in the middle of the scrum, but this is one of the worst fights we have seen in a long, long time. Tensions were heated right away at the very start of the ball game with Lance throwing high and in behind Julio Rodriguez. No doubt about the intent on that one, and now Winker is hit by Lance. Here in the top half of the second.
Don't they normally, doesn't the announcer at some point, after all that's going on, say something? This is not what baseball is all about. Don't they give that kind of thing? They start, you know, criticizing the behavior of the players, right?
Yeah, they'll go to that. I'm surprised. I'm surprised Riz didn't drop that one in there. But, yeah, that's a common term they go to.
So what happened between these two teams? Was this brewing for a while?
Yeah, I would say 10 days ago is when it all started, when Mike Lorenzen, an Angels pitcher, hit Justin Upton in the head with a pitch. Now, that was accidental. He claimed it was accidental. There would be no reason to throw at him there. And then 9 days later, or 8 days rather, Mike Trout, who has just been killing the Mariners. He kills the Mariners every year, but especially this year. He was up to bat. And I think there was two balls in the count, and the Mariners did a mound visit. So they bring out the pitching coach, they all gather up. And then after the mound visit, our pitcher, who I can't quite remember the name, he threw the next two pitches up and in, one of them just nearly missing Trout's head. So if you do a mound visit and then you immediately throw at their best player, it's kind of a bad look, because it's saying like, oh, you went out there, just told him to throw at him. And then, so the Angels weren't happy with that. They were barking. Their manager, Nevin, was yelling at Scott Service, Mariners manager, after that game, yelling, so, you know, well, we don't forget this kind of stuff. Yeah, expletive, expletive. And so this game, this Sunday game, was really the ultimate showdown, because in an unprecedented move, the Angels actually used an opener. That guy, Wentz, was not actually the starter. He was a relief pitcher that they just sort of sent out there as like a sacrifice, as just like, hey, you need to go out there and hit a bunch of their guys, and when you inevitably get ejected, it'll be fine because we'll have our actual starter come in and pitch, which is crazy. I've never heard of that, but when I saw the starting lineup, I saw that guy. I was like, why would they go with an opener? And then right. it all made sense when he was just beanball after beanball. So he nearly missed Rodriguez. And then to start up the first pitch of the second inning, he hit Winker. And, you know, everything broke loose after that.
Okay. So they sort of saw something like this coming, and then they lit the fuse, and there you go. And at that point, what time do they keep yelling,
Lumber, pick up line two, please pick up line two. Lumber, pick up line two, please pick up line two.
I was in the corner. I couldn't quite hear the pages. I had my headphones in. Yeah, my headphones were in. I was not involved.
Do you think people have, is this the year that people have decided to give up on the Mariners because they are just so god awful?
I don't think it should be. It would be fair for people to do that, but for the first time in a really long time, I think this team is heading in the right direction. Some of our off-season acquisitions haven't worked out, like Jesse Winker, case in point. He was an all-star last year, as well as Adam Frazier, and they have both been, you know, way below average this year, not even for just their standards, but league standards. Yeah. So we have a lot of talent. Maybe it's just a thing of whoever is on the Mariners, no matter how good they are, if they're wearing a white jersey that says Mariners on it, they're going to be bad. That's certainly how it feels. But I'm squarely behind the team right now.
Yeah, you and Aaron, you do not give up. There's something about it. It's in your blood. You just can't give up on the Mariners. Sherry, any questions that Rye has prepared for you that you can ask him to make it seem like he's hearing them for the first time?
No, he was busy working. He did not return any of my pleading texts to him to please help me with this. I am just surprised. I didn't realize that these baseball players could do this. I mean, it just seems so, not the fight part, but that they would pitch like that. I don't know why I'm so naive that I would just think that seems so dangerous. Is this a regular thing?
It is, and it's awful, and I think a lot of people agree with you. You will get thrown out for basically doing that. Is the common penalty. If you do anything that upsets the other team or another player, you're going to get thrown out in your next at-bat. And the common one is if you hit a home run and what it's called pimping the home run, you watch it and do a bat flip. Like, if you really admire the home run, your next at-bat, you're probably going to get hit with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball in the ribs. And it's not fair, but it's just sort of the unwritten, like, code of baseball, which, you know, it's America's pastime. It's been around forever. And the managers still use it, you know, obviously to this day, in order to send warnings and...
Well, this is like mafia baseball.
Punishment. I mean, it's like prison. It's prison
terrible.
Rules.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, has anybody lately gotten badly hurt from this brutal practice of trying to hurt people?
With the beanballs, guys there's a little bit of etiquette there as far as, okay, if we're going to throw at this guy intentionally, we're going to hit him in, like, the lower rib area and to try to stay away
from
the
polite.
Head. Yeah. Yeah, it's very polite.
Very nice.
Very cordial.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of these guys get hurt. Baseball players are pretty good at just brushing off hit by pitches. I don't know if it's an adrenaline thing or all the pads they wear these days, but it's the punishment that these teams have used for a long time and continue to use.
Does it? Wow. Can I ask if it feels like it's getting worse or better? If there's a general trend, just obviously we're talking about this one because it was the Mariners since the hometown team. But if it's getting worse, can we expect even more padding on baseball players? Can we expect baseball players that look like football players? Is what I'm asking.
Well, I think it's definitely getting better. In the old days of baseball, it was certainly more, you know, it was just anything goes, wild, wild west. And now the referees or the umpires rather. They've got a good system to try to settle it. And if games are close and the team is trying to win and it's a competitive game, you're not going to see this beanball crap because you can get your pitcher ejected and you're getting guys on base for free. But I think it's definitely getting better. But as for the Mariners this year, we have been, you know, we had a big brawl against the Astros. Now we have a big brawl. We have just a melee, as Rick Riz said, against the Angels. So we're leaning into it this year, and I think we could see a lot more to come because we play these teams, you know, the joke Dad and I have is we play these teams like 150 times a year. So it's only going to get worse. And it'll be exciting. I mean, there's some action for the baseball haters who say nothing ever happened.
Well, listen, when those guys fight, it's a lot different than hockey or football because you don't have all the pads on. So, I mean, they really are throwing some serious punches. Rye, I think it's important that I confess something to you. Your grandfather coached our Mother Good Counsel. And there's a guy by the name of Fitzpatrick. An Irish kid with a tremendous amount of back hair. Fitzpatrick wasn't much of a basketball player, but he was a scrapper. And my father, whenever anybody was on the other team that was really good at hitting shot after shot, no matter where they were in the rhythm, as my dad would say, your grandfather, he'd say to Fitzpatrick, Pack it in here. Packy, listen to me. Get in there. When the guy goes up for a shot, just club him right across the chest, and if you get part of his chin, think nothing of it. And he'd send him in. He'd either get a T and be thrown out, or he'd get five fouls within about 4 minutes, and then they'd throw him out. But it's my dad's way of just trying to take the good shooter out of his game. I just want you to know that. That's what you come from.
Okay. And I like to say, what is the guy's name? Garrison Keeler, the Prairie Home Companion.
That's all he got out of that. Is that you're doing a bad impersonation of Garrison Keeler.
Right. I just share with you part of the legacy of your grandfather, and that's all I
the
get.
The heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was people did that back then. That's dirty, but, you know, it was a common thing with basketball.
Yeah,
players trying to get the best player.
Give him a little whack. Give him a little whack. And thanks.
Yeah.
And Garrison Keeler. Yeah. All right. Roller?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Talk Game
Sports with Rye. Hey, Rye.
He
love, love.
Yep. Oh, ring, ring, love, love.
Wow, the double ring, ring, love, love. All right, thank you, Rye. I really appreciate that. Let me get him out of here. You're going to get him the stinger again. Oh, no. Talk Game Sports with Rye. Yeah. God, he loves baseball. Loves all sports. And I keep saying, Ryan, get into the world of broadcasting. He's like, Dad, what can I say? I love lumber. I'm sure he's one of these guys that his talent is beyond, like, you get into the break room at the Home Depot and somebody says something. He's like, Dad, I just got to hold myself back from going, actually, that's not true. You know, because then you give him the whole history of whatever it is, whoever the player is. So he learns to hold back on that sort of thing. I'm like, you know, let loose on somebody every once in a while. Cause I told you when he was down in Miami or went to a Tampa Bay game, he kept saying to this other person sitting next to him, he was his friend. He was explaining different stuff to them. And then at the end of the game, the one guy turned around drunk and started screaming at Rye about, oh, you think you know a lot about football? Do you? And Rye's like, I know more about football. I'd forgotten more about football than, and then with that, they just went unloaded on each other. And, I think I actually have the sound of that happening too. It's right here. The two of them going at it. Sounds something like this. Hang on.
Times, and he has pitched out of the pen.
No, that's not it. Chaos right there. One little thing. We still have time for the next story. Rye Roller calls me, went to a wedding over the weekend. He goes, Dad, there was this guy there that was like the ultimate shampooer. Walking from group to group, knew everybody's name, sitting there, spinning around. Just the absolute most amazing guy. He was only there for 25 minutes. But when he left the wedding, everyone's like, did you meet Chris? That guy was amazing. And I was like, Rye, did you try to corner him and like, tell him that you're on to him. Like, I know what you're doing here. I know what you're shampooing. I know how you work in the room. Did you try to corner him? He goes, Dad, the guy was so good at it. I couldn't. When I went over, he kind of hypnotized me and he took me off of my game and I wasn't able to point out, what a schmoozer he was. I said, that's quite the schmoozer then.
Are you intrigued? Do you want to meet this guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to see him.
Do you want to do a shampoo off or something?
Yeah. Well, you're both just trying to schmooze on the other guy. Right, I couldn't get the upper hand on him, Dad. He was like, so, Rye, tell me a bit more about yourself. You know, you're tall, drink of water. And Rye's like, so he goes to the height thing. I deflected that and I went on to something else. And the guy went to, but Dad, it was like, I couldn't, I couldn't. He just was so good at it.
Was he Rye's age or was he older?
No, older gentleman.
Oh,
walking around
okay.
in a white linen jacket that had the perfect wrinkles in it. You know those Irish linen that wrinkles, but it makes you look like you're even richer. Not
yes.
like you just rolled out from under an underpass.
It's the art of dressing down to make you look even richer. Yes.
Right. And you can see that he's not wearing socks, but his tan ends just above the bone of the ankle, which means he plays a lot of golf. Ever seen this look?
Boy, he really studied him. I mean, this is detailed.
No, that's not Rod. That was me.
Okay. So you've studied it. Okay. Well, I think there needs to be a meeting between the two of you. That would be quite the...
That's what I said, Dad. The guy was good. I mean, you could have learned a few things from him.
Oh, it had to hurt.
Oh, that's all right. I admit, I don't have all the tricks. I don't have the tan ankles. So
we can dream.
And he also did a thing where he would pet his hand hair, the back of his hand. He would pet it. I said, that's something new. You could look into that.
Ew, that's not good. How can you do that when you're smelling your hand after shaking everybody's, you know, smell?
It's a whole process.
Okay.
Process. This is the stupid stuff we talk about. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love that kid. He didn't seem too excited about the story that his grandfather caused other children to have their teeth rattled by Fitzpatrick.
I think it was more that he wasn't surprised.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Here we go. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar is coming in just a little bit. She'll choose the letter of the day. Could be the great honor to you and your family. Hey, you'll get a chance to see her, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes in with the horses and everything.
Yeah.
This will be great.
Oh,
Yeah. Great. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in through the State Roofing Text Line, 1-888-973-5476. Also, Bucky's Auto Service Centers. You know, they've been around for 16 years. And they've got 50. What is this Boston accent all of a sudden? Andrew, what is that? What are you putting there? Andrew's putting
Bucky,
this down.
Bucky's and Boston.
Boston, they both start with B.
Auto
Service Centers. Yeah, I want to be the first Irish Catholic American president to take my car to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've been around for 52 years. That's the place to take your car, Bucky's. I don't know if Jacob does this every once in a while to make me feel better about the fact that I read it about a fourth grade level. But, or did you put this in here, Sherry, to make me feel better about reading at a fourth grade level?
That would be me.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, and I was really, really surprised at how many people have this condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should understand, we're talking about dyslexia in the piece. The article is dyslexia a gift? Disorder actually helps some of history's greatest minds achieve success. Dyslexia is a great big term, fits under a great big umbrella. There's a whole bunch of other things that go on with it. Some people have really, really bad problems. That's both reading and verbal. That tends to hit women more than men. Where you actually are reversing words. Oh, God, imagine that. And other times it is just a learning disability. But, yeah, they take you through the people that have been able to sort of work this problem into a gift.
Yeah, so Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo da Vinci,
Leonardo
even
DiCaprio.
Better.
Oh, I'm in good company.
Albert Einstein, Pablo Picasso, Stephen Hawking. They say that Richard Branson and Steve Jobs also had something called developmental dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
So what they say are, and it's a little bit complicated, it's the difficulty in trading off between what they call the exploration of new information and the exploitation of existing knowledge. So the exploration of new information has to do with like creativity, finding ways to solve problems. The exploitation of existing knowledge is using reading, spelling, writing, all those things to explain things. So,
yeah, the common man's tools, we call those.
That's right. But
yes.
What they're finding is that people with dyslexia, because they have to solve things or, you know, figure things out in a different way, they're so much more creative. And they say that it's really about involving experimentation and discovery and innovation. So that's why they think people with dyslexia will be the real big innovators in this world, because they're problem solvers. They're very, very creative. Arts, architecture, engineering, and entrepreneurship are the careers that a lot of them excel in.
Hmm. How about that? I used to be on the board of Learning Disabilities Association of Washington, and every month we would have our board meeting, and everybody there had dyslexia, and then we'd say, okay, who wants to read the minutes from the last meeting? Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh, like stumbling over words that people, you know, normally if you're dyslexic, like Tom used to help me out and say whatever the word was, but there was no one there to help anybody. Everyone was like a bunch of people that couldn't swim jumping out of a boat at the same time and they just flapping around. Oh, my God, it was awful. It took, and then not only that, you mix in the dyslexia and the attention deficit disorder. The meetings would take like 3 hours. And then finally decided we're going to raise money by all jumping out of an airplane. And it's so funny. Everybody was like, is the guy that's packing the parachute, or they're not dyslexic, are they? I mean, like, they're not like on the dyslexic team, are they? Like, no. And at the pilot, like, is he got a little problem too? Like, no, he's fine. Oh, okay. Then everybody's okay. As long as it wasn't like a disease, it was like, you know, catching for everybody. But people that did sign up are like, I'm here to support you guys. As long as the guy packing the parachute knows how to read. Yeah,
that was
the thing.
Did you find that your colleagues in this group were also creative and had really good problem-solving skills, and they were exploring different ways to do things?
It took us so long even to just – we were talking about the raspberry cream cheese, and then who wants this bagel, and then why? Oh, I like that one, but it's got – stuff gets all over your fingers, but then isn't it interesting how sticky the onion bits are? And, I mean, it would just take forever. I mean – we tried to get a lot of stuff done, but we could never kind of get going on the meetings.
Did you ever think that maybe you could have had a facilitator help you?
Somebody else in there.
Somebody like the guy packing the parachute that might be
somebody else to help
moving
out.
Along a little bit.
Hey, guys, focus. Who's like, going to get the cream cheese next time? Oh, my God. Yeah, it was bad. It's funny. It's still, what happens to people? Well, how do you see it? So the words go in your eyes and then they go up into the brain. Then the brain identifies the word, then has to switch over to the other side, and then it puts it in context as to what it is. Then it has to come back over to the other side of the brain, then verbally be said. So what can happen is it's switching from one side to the other. It can get like broken into pieces, or it gets busted up. And then when it gets said, as it's being said, you realize, I don't think that's the word, but I'll just say it anyway. I remember one time standing there at a restaurant and they had all the stuff up on display and I really wanted the lasagna, but I was like, I'll have I couldn't figure out the word lasagna, just staring at it. And I was like, can I help you out? She got the hairnet on. I'm like, soup? I'll have a soup? This awful tomato bisque soup. And I was like, you don't like tomato bisque soup. I know, but I didn't know what the word was. The one that begins with the big one, the big long word. They're like, lasagna? It's like, is that? I knew I wanted to eat that. I just didn't know how to read it. Sad. Yeah. And again, what was it? How brilliant we all are again, Sherry?
Yeah. You're
why don't you run through that list one more time?
All right. Leonardo DiCaprio.
And I'll try to spell out the word lasagna. La. Soup?
Well, this article seems to feel like the people that have dyslexia actually are, you know, incredible in their own way.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, in their own way. Okay. It is weird having no ability to read, especially a teleprompter. I told that story about WCIA in Champaign-Urbana when a giant tornado was coming and I didn't know how to read any of the names of any of the towns. So I just act like my microphone was broken. I told Jacob that story. I felt so bad for those people in those towns. I couldn't pronounce their name. I'm John Curley in the WCIA Weather Center. The following counties are under a tornado warning. And then I just went, like my microphone. And everyone else, I'd go, and I thought, I should probably save somebody's life. Move to an interior wall or bathtub. Oh, my God. It was like 1 minute. And people are like, what's he saying? I don't know. I can't tell what county it is. I made sure I got my name back in. I'm John Curley in the WCIA Weather Center. We'll have more on this tornado.
I'm John Curley.
I'm John Curley. Say my name twice. Got that out. Effingham was the name of the town that really got destroyed and by my mispronunciation. All right.
No one was saved.
No, nobody. entire county's wiped out. If they had more than one syllable, they were destroyed.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to use that when I can't pronounce a word.
All right. Do we have time to talk about your flight, or do you want to do the regular news here, Sherry?
That's entirely up to you.
Happy.
I mean, do you think you can fill 4 minutes of a captivating radio with your horrible story?
We better do the lottery story.
Okay.
It's up to you. I can tell you in 2 minutes what happened.
That'll do it. Yeah. Nikki will come in with more traffic. All right. So you fly in, you leave, you fly out of Washington, you come out of Reagan?
Yep. Okay. It was a beautiful afternoon. And really, the airport wasn't very crowded. I was excited. Oh. Everything was good. I was so happy because I got to fly first class.
You're maxed and vaxed.
Yep. I sent you a picture of me with my mask on.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting there. Everything was great. So get on the plane and sitting in my big comfy chair. And I think, okay, this is going to be great. I'm going to be pampered the whole way. I mean, the last time I flew business class, I think, to Paris or something. And it was luxurious. I mean, they just doted on you. You know, they gave you stuff every hour, every whatever. They're always asking you if you wanted a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. So first thing that happens is the plane starts to taxi and then we stop. Yeah. And then the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Pilot talk. Okay, sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, just pilot cockpit.
First time on a plane, sir.
Yeah, we've just been told that no planes can take off headed west. So we're just going to wait for an update, and we'll have one in about 30 minutes.
Okay, if you're going to do the pilot again, you have to put a lot of as in between. We're going to do that in between. All right.
Also, why did the pilot tell you he was in the cockpit?
Oh, yeah. From the flight deck. Okay. So so then we just sit and we sit and we sit. And then finally we take off. And I thought, good, we're on our way. On our way, right? Yeah, Here comes the food and the drinks and the dancing girls. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Bupkis. There is, I get the meal that I had ordered, which was okay. And then they did bring, while we were waiting for the meal, I did get a beer and some warm nuts. Then the second thing happened. Hello!
Sorry, Tim. Yeah,
is there anyone on the plane who has a medical degree, a nurse, an EMT, anyone? Anyone? Please see your flight attendant immediately. So there's a medical emergency, and everybody comes rushing up to the front of the plane. And there is, I don't know what was going on. There was a kid involved. I don't know if they had a seizure, what it was. But anyway, that lasted for about 40 minutes, all of the chaos up at the front of the plane.
Wow.
Finally, they leave. And I'm thinking, okay, now I can relax.
Yeah.
Then the flight attendant that was assigned to us says, "Hi." She's sitting there and she just kind of stands up and she says, "I'm sorry, I've scratched my cornea and I'm not able to work." And all the other flight attendants are kind of fussing about her and they're asking her, "When do you fly again? When do you do this?" And she's just holding her eye in front of all of us. She's just standing there holding her eye. I sent you a picture of that too.
Yes. Did they ask for medical assistance for her or no?
No.
Okay.
So I said, "Okay, fine. We're going to get there. It's going to be okay. I can just relax now." So I get another beer. And I drink my other beer, and I think. And then the people behind me, who were from I'm not sure where, they talked for 7 hours. I am not exaggerating. I have never seen anything like it. They never stopped talking the entire time. So finally I get to the airport, and it's...
Now you know how people feel about this show. Go ahead.
Especially this segment. So... You made me do it. Anyway, it was very, very crowded, but I had a nice ride to the hotel, and I got in a little bit later.
Yeah. What kind of human are you?
Yeah, you didn't care about the lady with the scratched cornea. Not only did she scratch her cornea, she was able to self-diagnose herself with a scratched cornea.
Yeah, okay. I don't. I mean,
also, my question, did the people sitting behind you, did they talk a lot about how into raisins they are? Or was that...
Or anything like that? Yeah.
Maybe it's the same
I'm
people.
Not going to lie to you. I love raisins. What were they? Was it a completely inane conversation?
They were Russian. They spoke in Russian the entire time.
Oh, geez.
So it was, I was not able to follow along.
So it could have been about raisins.
Could have been raisins. I tried to find a grape that was on the floor to bring to John that I could roll around and give to him if he was hungry, but that didn't happen.
When I saw your picture of yourself with a mask on, what did I text you?
That feels like it was 8 days ago. I don't remember.
I said, I will lick keypad of an ATM machine in your honor.
Right. Did you go do that for me?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. How you feeling?
Up and back. I did the front of the tongue, and then I dragged, I flipped my tongue forward and dragged the back of it across the keypad. All right? Like an old fat snail has been there. All right?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you. You're a man of your word. I appreciate it.